a book review. The name of the book, The New Ecumenism. How the Catholic Church, after Vatican II, took over the leadership of the World Ecumenical Movement. The author is Kenneth D. Whitehead, and it is put out by St. Paul's, which is found in Staten Island, New York. And what is this book about? Well, we go to the jacket again and take a look at what is said about it. The last several popes have made the quest for church unity an item of the highest priority on their agendas. This has been true to perhaps a much greater extent than most Catholics, and indeed most Protestants, have generally noticed or realized. Yet it is hard to imagine on what John Paul II put in more time and effort personally than he did on his efforts to seek better relations with our fellow Christians. And from the time of his election to the chair of Peter in 2005, Benedict XVI has followed pretty much the same pattern. These popes were acting in response to a mandate of the Second Vatican Council, which inaugurated a whole new era in ecumenism for the Catholic Church. The subject of ecumenism, the Catholic Church's relations with other Christians, and with the search for Christian unity, is what is being dealt with in this extraordinarily well-researched and very readable book. May it foster in all who read it a greater understanding and love of the Church, which Jesus Christ founded 2,000 years ago. Let me get another idea of what is in the book. We go to the table of contents, which is has 21 chapters, and let's take a look at what those chapters deal with. The Catholic Church's New Ecumenical Venture, Chapter 2, Getting from Here to There, Chapter 3, The Debates on Ecumenism at the Council, Chapter 4, The Decree on Ecumenism, Chapter 5, The Importance of Dialogue, Pope Paul VI, Ecclesiam Suum, and I might say that that is an excellent, excellent encyclical which should be read over and over again, especially on the section of dialogue as the means of renewal. Chapter 6, Connecting with the Ecumenical Movement. Chapter 7, Relations with the Eastern Orthodox. Chapter 8, The Ancient Churches of the East. Chapter 9, Traditions in Transition. Chapter 10, Relations with the Reformation Communions. Chapter 11, Relations with the Reformation Communions Continued. Chapter 12, Pope John Paul II's encyclical Ut Unum Sint. And chapter 13 is a continuation of that. Chapter 14, The Encyclical and the Roman Primacy. Chapter 15, An Eastern Orthodox Theologian Responds to the Pope's Encyclical. Chapter 16, Considering the Petrine Ministry. Chapter 17, Five Orthodox Theologians Examine the Primacy. The CDF clarifies the issue. 18, A Catholic Convert from Orthodoxy Makes His Case. 19, Rome's Dominus Jesus. 20, The New Ecumenism Confirmed. And 21, Prospects for the Future. And I'm going to go to that very last chapter and just read a section from it that I think you will find very touching, and it has a lot to say. It is written, this little section we're going to read, by Cardinal Stanislaw Zjedzic. He was the Pope's secretary. In early 2008, the Archbishop of Krakow, who had been the private secretary of Pope John Paul II, published a memoir entitled A Life with Carol, My 40-Year Friendship with the Man Who Became Pope. To conclude this book, it seems fitting to quote something of what the Cardinal records about Pope John Paul II's attitude towards the new ecumenism. In a chapter entitled It Took Six Hands, the Polish Cardinal and successor to Cardinal Wojtyła, himself in the See of Krakow, writes, John Paul II was pushing manfully, but he just couldn't seem to get the holy door to open. For onlookers at St. Paul outside the walls who didn't know what was going on, there was a moment of embarrassment. Only a moment, though, because it immediately became clear it wasn't that the Pope couldn't open the door, but that he was waiting. He was waiting for the Orthodox Metropolitan Athanasius and the Archbishop of Canterbury, George Carey, to lend a hand. With all six hands pushing, the door swung open, and then all three knelt in unison. For the first time in history, the Bishop of Rome, the successor of Peter, and the most senior representatives of the Orthodox and Protestantism jointly opened a holy door and stepped side by side into the Basilica of the Apostle of the Gentiles, which as such is the ecumenical basilica par excellence. The scene we've just described, which took place on January 19, 2000, symbolized the whole trajectory of the ecumenical movement with all its peaks and valleys. In order to reestablish friendly and brotherly relations with the different Orthodox churches, John Paul II undertook, with some risk, a series of trips to places like Romania, where the issue of the Eastern Catholic Church was still unresolved. Greece, where the Orthodox bishops hadn't even invited him to come. Moscow's neighbor, Ukraine. And yet, he was aided by his mea culpas and buoyed up by the conviction that, as he would often put it, the first step was to promote union in feeling. And then union indeed. That is a wonderful principle for today, for any time. And yet he was aided by his mea culpas and buoyed up by the conviction that, as he would often put it, the first step was to promote union in feeling and then union indeed. As a result, the Pope was able to effect a radical change in places and in attitudes that were hostile before. I am still moved when I remember how, during the Holy Father's visit to Bucharest, the people suddenly burst out shouting, "Unitate, unitate, unity, unity." Everybody joined in, Orthodox, Catholics, Evangelical Protestants. All of them were shouting for the unity that once existed among Christians. I'd also like to mention his visit to Greece, because it was a really extraordinary event. During the Holy Father's stay in Athens, we saw two churches overcome their initial distance and draw closer together by the hour. By the time the Pope left, the Greek Orthodox Church was no longer the same as it was when he had arrived in Greece. Well, then, how long will we have to wait for the reunion of all Christians? This is a question that even Pope John Paul II asked himself at the end of Ut Unum Sint, Quanta Est Nobis Via. How much further do we still have to go? Maybe the six hands that together pushed open the ancient Byzantine door of St. Paul's were themselves already a first answer. For those hands belong to the Christians who, while still divided, truly wish to come back together again someday. End of book review.